Thank you so much, Administrator, and thank you for outlining these critical issues.
And for your leadership in this. Our goals, as we outline, are really to reduce viral transmission, entry in and spread within the home, and reduce the risk of the complications in this most vulnerable of all populations, the nursing home residents. And it's important to recognize that in this particular population, the doubling time can be 3.6 days. So within a week, you could go from 2 cases to 8 cases to 16 cases if you do not take action quickly, and that would be in the next 24 to 72 hours, to really reduce the spread and the risk. And we've been thinking about this a lot from the standpoint of keeping COVID out, detecting cases earlier, preventing its transmission, and managing your staff. And I'll go over some of the key findings from our strike teams and observations from the QIOs. And our goals really are to implement best practices, and it's really the word implement as opposed to just understand them. So we think it's important for learning, adopting, and repetition that's really needed for frontline staff. Some of the best practices we've seen is where other staff are watching how people are donning and doffing their PPE, and even watching hand washing and making sure people use it. We believe on-site infection preventionists are a great source of leadership and vigor. And if you don't have that, or even if you do, developing local relationships anywhere from your county to the state public health people, but also with your hospitals. And we hope that nursing homes really form groups within their local area and ask each other for what is best practices. With regard to managing staff, it's important to listen to workforce shortages, which are a major concern. And as you get short, as people become ill potentially, or staff or unable to come to the home, this can cause other staff to rush and not perform best practices, and this can lead to increased spread. So it's important that people slow down and that they really watch and make sure they perform best infectious disease practices. While testing can identify asymptomatic staff who test positive, and it's important not to allow them entry until proven negative, but all the staff, by using masks and proper hand hygiene, should be able to prevent spread, even if they're asymptomatic and you do not yet have the tests. And we worry about the psychological impact of the loss, which needs to be really managed. And finally, with regard to testing, it's really important to dedicate space and staff for the sample collection, testing, data recording. That many of the facilities actually do this outside of the facility, so that you're not bringing it in with a staff member who comes in who's ill that day, or is asymptomatic but will test positive. What we've really learned from our site visits of the strike teams is washing of the hands is critical. Many of your facilities are old. There has been some misinterpretation of some guidance. We believe the alcohol-based hand sanitizers are really critical and should be up everywhere in these facilities in order to properly wash hands and maintain optimal hand hygiene. We've also learned that maintaining social distances sometimes is hard because lunch and break rooms may be small, but you need to not have in-person meetings or congregating. And the best nursing homes actually have defined times when people can eat, in which they can maintain that 6 feet apart during lunches or breaks. Again, wearing masks and covering your cough and not touching your face, we'll be giving in this tabletop instructions to the frontline providers examples of correcting PPE donning where somebody needs to adjust it and recontaminates themselves. And as I said, installing those alcohol-based hand sanitizers and instructions of how to do it and actually asking the healthcare worker to repeat it back to make sure. In fact, it's important that you empower all of your providers to say, I saw you didn't optimally wash your hands, or you actually contaminated yourself, and that they then say thank you, and they go back and actually proper redon that. And we think this new module that's going to be released in about 12 days, that everyone should take it as soon as possible. We believe it's really critical. And finally, as the administrator talked about, really developing some of those emergency preparedness plans of what happens if someone becomes positive, so that you really can take it off the shelf tomorrow. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Ling to go over some more of our recommendations.
And thank you, Dr. Fleischer, and good afternoon. And first, let me say thank you all so much for coming to this call and to the care you provide to our beneficiaries. What you do matters tremendously. And, you know, as you're hearing these lessons learned, and as I speak to the potential actions, know that they have come from what has been observed at the point of care, that it is feasible, what we recommend is feasible to do. It is, each and every one of us has a role to play in solving to this incredible and unprecedented challenge that we have. So as was mentioned earlier, the categories of the potential actions that can be taken immediately are that for keeping COVID out, detecting cases quickly, preventing the transmission, and managing staff. So to the first category of keeping COVID out, you know, we have worked hand in hand and very closely with CDC and our federal partners to really be clear that we cannot overemphasize the importance of the screening for symptoms and temperature and risk factors and all of that, you know, anyone who enters into the facility. So be sure that the screening procedures that are implemented are really robust and checked. And as Dr. Fleischer mentioned, we have to get there together. So being responsible together for calling out where there may have been deviations from what the recommendations are, putting in place the screening protocols and having for our residents screening with a high index of suspicion. Certainly, residents who have cough and fever, you know, the risk is high, and so they would be the first to be tested. However, not all residents will have those and manifest in those type of symptoms. They may actually, it may be a subtle behavior change. And there, your nursing staff, your frontline staff really know the residents best and really empower them to speak up and say, I'm worried about Mrs. So-and-so. Let's take a close look at her. And that actually helps also in detecting cases quickly with a high index of suspicion. Also important for preventing transmission of the virus within a facility and taking action perhaps even before the symptoms and the tests have come back, so not to wait. We understand that turnaround times for many of you can be delayed, so there's action still you can take, right, to prevent further transmission as you wait. Proper donning and doffing of PPE, proper hand hygiene and masking and social distancing, these are all really, really critical, as has been identified as opportunities and necessities. So even without a test being positive, you know, we talk about cohorting and how that is done. That actually, so you have negatives, you have positives, you have, as you wait, unknown. So have a process in place how you would manage and cohort these residents so as not to risk further transmission, I think is really an important message and is part of some of the lessons learned that that we will be diving into in the training modules that Dr. Fleischer mentioned. So cohorting capabilities and also workflow is an important part of controlling viral transmission. I will also say that given the staffing limitations that we have heard from many of you, training once and once and done is not sufficient. Because as new staff come on board, they actually also need to know how to manage in this new environment if they are filling in. And planning for that in your tabletop exercises is an important action that can be taken today immediately. So this gets to the category of managing staff. We know that many of you have already turned to some novel solutions, bringing new staff on board, enhancing your relationship and knowledge of the resources in your local areas, relying upon each other, and also turning to your local industry, your local chapters of AMDA and professional societies, imparting the clinical knowledge at the point of care that's necessary to help you improve, to help the care delivered improve in real time. And really just acknowledging from what we have heard for staffing that this is not just a fear of the unknown. When you lose residents, when you lose staff, it has a deep impact that needs to be managed proactively. So there are resources about this, and this is also about preparing a resilient workforce. The last category really is that of reducing deaths. Early detection that a resident is at risk or develops COVID symptoms, however atypical they may be. We know also that clinical decompensation can happen fast, can happen within minutes or hours. So really developing and fostering those relationships with local resources, local hospitals, and imparting the clinical knowledge through team-based trainings and on how to manage COVID symptoms and residents with COVID, not just to diagnose, but to manage thereafter, really is an important part of the solution that we have seen in real life that facilities are able to do together. And finally, just to say that this is speaking with you all at the front lines, want to express our appreciation and support, but really call upon you, as Administrator Verma mentioned, we need to solve to this. Today. We cannot wait until we have perfection. We are going to have to learn our way through this and not just rely on testing. So each one of you has talents, skills, and knowledge and experience to bring to bear here. So this is our appeal to you to really join us and that we can join you in our path forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Fleischer and Dr. Lang. We've just got a couple of minutes here. Again, just sort of reemphasizing, wanted to kind of make sure that you all were aware of the numbers. I think at this point we have about 10% of nursing homes in the United States throughout the country that have cases, and our goal here is to now prevent that mitigation of spread inside those nursing homes and to prevent other nursing homes. And as I said, we'll be communicating with the governors on Monday about things that they can do to support your efforts on the ground. You know, I know that I'm hoping that Mark Parkinson is on the line. Mark, I don't know if you wanted to say a couple of words in closing. I just want to make it very clear to all of you that we are here to help you and support you. This isn't a time of fines and being punitive. It is a time, as Sherry said, to be problem solvers. So I want you to know that whatever you need, we are here to help you on any level, whether it's staffing, whether it's supplies, whether it's testing, whether it's just technical assistance. We're here to get you whatever you need, and we're going to be emphasizing with the governors and state and local officials to make sure that you have that support, and please communicate if you have needs. So, Mark, I just want to give you, if you're on the line, maybe a couple of closing comments, and then, you know, we can follow up with some additional time if we need it in our regular calls that we have with the nursing homes.
Thank you, Administrator. May, can you please give Mark Parkinson the instructions to be unmuted? Thank you.
Mr. Mark Parkinson, you can press star one. Okay, your line is now open.
Mark, do we have you on the line?
Well, Lena, we kind of put Mark on the spot. So, again, I just want to thank you all for participating today. We will be continuing our calls to provide technical assistance and to provide shared learnings from your peers. Again, appreciate everything you all are doing, and we will continue having these calls to make sure that you have the latest information. Thank you again.